Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. You?
Great. Great, and I broke my toe.
Wow.
I was playing soccer and broke my toe.
Big toe, little toe, middle toe?
Middle toe, middle bone of the middle toe on the left foot.
Wow. Just enough to get you hobbling.
Yeah, just enough to get me hobbling. And you know what was so surprising to me is that after I got over the something wrong and this shouldn't be happening to me, and by the way, life, did you know I had big plans for next week? I was going somewhere and...
And it involved both feet.
Yeah. There was a lot of gratitude that came up.
Huh.
And I don't know, just, it's like the blessings that I have became more obvious to me.
Uh-huh. Do you mean because... You were able to see the kinds of things that you would just take for granted if
I think that would, if you
weren't hobbling up and down stairs and
yeah,
just that everything works.
Yes,
and that everything is fairly easy because everything works.
Yes,
yeah, that's such an important point. The kinds of things that we don't think about because they're just so obviously ours.
Yes,
yeah, we just kind of take it for granted that
yes.
I can just get up and walk. I can just get up and go and do what I want to do. And,
yeah.
And we forget. And, of course, there's a big part of the population of the world for whom that is not true.
Yes.
But when we're healthy like that, it's true. We just lose sight of the fact that it's a great big gift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
I mean,
yeah.
So it's good.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when it's a toe.
Yes.
Yeah, and not a leg or an arm or a back or a neck or...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can have all that gratitude without a lot of lasting ramifications.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems to be the case. It's wonderful. And I'm excited to say this is a call-in talk show, and we have a caller. It's a good deal.
Yeah, when it works.
I'd like to welcome Jillian from Toronto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
Hi, I'm a 22-year-old girl, and I really love your books. There's Nothing Wrong With You really changed my life. And I'm just calling. I've had a couple of serious relationships in the past, but I find I struggle a lot with the self-hate, especially when it comes to dating and guys. And I tend to get very excited early on and then really disappointed if it doesn't work out. Mm. And I was just dating someone for the last 3 weeks, and out of the blue, he came to me and said that he didn't really feel that there was any chemistry and I wasn't really what he was looking for. And this was really shocking because it seemed really out of nowhere. He wasn't really rude about it, but he was kind of cold and insensitive, and I'm finding I'm having issues with just not talking to him anymore. I know that I struggle with the idea of telling someone, you know, to go to hell or leave me alone, and I find that a really scary idea.
Uh-huh. So even though there's no chemistry, you're still in one another's lives?
Just, you know, on the internet right now, yeah. And I mean, he's talking to me normally. We just sort of ended it with me last night very sort of abruptly. I didn't even get to really say anything back to him. And now today he's messaging me normally, like nothing's happened. But on the inside, I'm still pretty upset that he decided to do this. But a part of me still wants to talk to him because, you know, I do like him as a person. But I feel like it'll also say something bad about me if I, you know, tell him to leave me alone. And then he actually listens and then he does leave me alone. So it's kind of I'm stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Now, are you curious about what actually happened, or do you feel pretty at peace about that?
He went to a self-help motivation thing over this weekend, and we didn't talk, and he came back and just said he's decided what he's looking for, and it's just not me. So,
uh-huh.
I mean, he's come back with all these different ideas, so I can see there's something there with that, but I mean, I don't know. It's just really hard to know what to do. And
what do you want to do?
I mean, a part of me does want to keep talking to him just because I like him, but I know it can't be the same because he's clearly not interested, and I'm not really that interested anymore because of the way he handled it. But it's just like I have a problem with, you know, just saying that's it, it's done. I feel like, I guess I feel like if I like him, I think he must be a good person, and then if he doesn't like me back, it's like the good person didn't like me, so I must be a bad person. Like,
yeah.
I know that doesn't really make that much logical sense, but that's kind of how it feels. It's like I need him to keep talking to me.
Yeah. Now, of course, you know, you've read There's Nothing Wrong With You, so I'm gonna speculate that possibly what you need is for him to keep giving you information that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Which is different from, you know, what the voices would say is, you know, I really need his approval so that I can feel good about myself.
Right.
But you don't have his approval, and his lack of approval is giving you a message that there's something wrong with you. So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's not about whether you're a good person or he's a good person. It's that you're both looking for, it sounds like you're both looking for a romantic relationship. You've decided one another isn't it.
Right.
And so what would be the point of trying to pretend that you can go back to, okay, we're just friends and we don't really know each other? And
yeah, I guess it's just like it's flattering that he still wants to talk to me. I know that sounds really like maybe a little twisted, but it's like he's still messaging me, so I'll just keep talking to him.
Uh-huh. You know, what occurs to me about it is that possibly what you need to do is be talking to you.
Right.
You need to be talking to you, and you need to be listening to you.
Right.
And that's what would be ultimately the most flattering.
Right.
The most pleasing and the most satisfying.
Right. I guess
you.
It's just kind of like I feel like I've been on all these dates with all these people and nothing is working out, and I know that that's just kind of the way it goes, but you start to kind of feel like, well, what is it about me people don't like? And you know what I mean?
Well,
you start to kind of think these things.
Yeah. And to me, a better question would, I used to have a business partner who would say, you know, the next time it would be good to conduct a better interview.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the question is not what's wrong with you that this isn't working out, but how do you keep finding yourself in the same situation over and over and over?
Right.
Who's making the choices? Who's, you know, because we like to pretend that everything we do is terribly well thought out and
right.
logical and rational and reasonable, and most of what's going on is happening at a much more subtle level.
Right.
So who is it who's making these choices in
right.
you? What's the process that you're doing? And for me, not that you're doing anything wrong, but just, you know, it's one of those, you keep winding up in the same place and you don't know how you got there.
Right.
So if you don't want to wind up in the same place, you'd better figure out how you're getting there.
Right.
And so that's the interesting part of it for me. So it's not that you need to do anything different from what you're doing right now. It's that you need to pay attention to what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, you apparently you have the ability to meet a lot of guys and go out with a lot of guys. So now you need to be watching, what in the heck is actually going on here? What am I believing? What am I telling myself?
Yeah, you know, because you sort of start to feel like maybe a student who thinks that they're really smart, but they keep, you know, failing all their classes, and they keep thinking, you know, no, I'm still really smart. It doesn't matter what that says. It kind of, you feel like that. It's like, I'm a great person.
Well, you know, you could be really smart
right.
In the sense of you'd be very, very good at philosophy, psychology, sociology, but you're taking advanced astrophysics, microbiology, chemistry,
okay.
hootie, okay? And you're not really good at that. And it doesn't mean that you're not smart. It
okay.
might just mean that you're making choices that are not good fits for who you are.
Right.
But yeah. you've got to figure out what it is that's going on, not analyzing it in order to figure it out, but paying really close attention, watching.
Yeah.
Watching who you're attracted to. You know, I kid women a lot about how we are in relationship. So here's the way it goes. You know, I really want a guy who's emotionally available and present and is sensitive and listens. And then I meet that guy, and I can't get away from him fast enough. And down the street comes this, what I like to refer to as knuckle dragger.
Okay.
And then it's, you know, everything in me says, yes, yes, that's the one for me. So then when I get the relationship that I've actually signed on for, I am lost in this. What's the matter with me? Why can't I ever, I never get the, he's not, you know, well, I could have known in the first 5 seconds
right.
how this was going to go if I'd been paying attention.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, so, it's true. I guess it's just you.
Yeah, you got some paying attention to do. Look to see in you who's making the decisions, and maybe pick up a copy of Be the Person You Want to Find.
Okay.
Take a look at that and conduct some good interviews, or just some interviews, and see where you sort of stop asking the questions and where you stop paying attention and where you the little voices are overriding your better judgment and all of those kinds of things. And I think it's going to become pretty clear pretty quickly.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
And then you're going to let us know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jillian. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, the calls are stacking up here.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello?
Beth.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. What's going on?
I'm doing very well. Well, I got a couple things to choose from. But there's this one thing that I've been kind of watching for a while now.
Uh-huh.
And that's what happens on Tuesday evenings. It's like, I know the radio show is happening, and I haven't quite got the computer worked out yet.
Uh-huh.
So I know, like, calling in is an option. And I spend all weekend thinking about what I want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And then it comes, like, Tuesday afternoon, and something always goes wrong. I get in a bad mood.
Now this is the kind of thing.
That's not really true. I don't really know where that came from.
This is the kind of thing we were just talking about with Jillian, right?
We're getting caught in the story.
Well, and being in a process that can look as if it's random until we start paying attention, and then we realize, I do this, then I do this, then I hear this, then I think that, then I feel this, then I do that, then I. And I wind up in exactly the same spot.
Again and yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the element of, like, talking on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I've been listening to the caller before and kind of, like, finding, you know, some center.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it comes to my turn to talk, all of a sudden there's stage fright.
Yes.
And that's all there is.
It just kind of a blank mind and...
Got to come up with something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever consider making little notes for yourself?
In what respect?
Well, just making little notes. You know, instead of like spending all weekend thinking about what you're going to talk about, you know, you can just go along and then something occurs to you and you just take out your little notebook and write down, yeah, I'd like to talk about that on the radio show.
And yes, I do.
You can let it all go.
Usually talking about those in group.
Say what?
Also, being in Pittsburgh, I'm lucky to have two groups options twice
uh-huh.
a week.
Two,
so I usually end up talking about those things that I think about to talk on the radio in group.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but it's interesting just kind of watching this energy build up and then Tuesday night, and then just like something always kind of happens.
Yeah.
Right around 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Is something upsetting?
Well, just today, and since it happened today, it happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of projecting back, you know, and as soon as I said that, I could see that, you know, that's not true.
But it's true for the person that you're identified with currently.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're the one that's kind of clouding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's kind of like writer's block, isn't it? We can get caught up, so, you know, I want to write... but every time I sit down to write, I can't think of anything to write about, and so then I go off into this great misery about how I want to write, but you know I can't write,
exactly.
And I
until it's too late, and then it starts to cycle over again.
Yeah, Well, I lose sight of the fact that the really interesting part of it is the process around that. It doesn't actually matter whether I ever write anything. It doesn't matter whether you ever actually talk about any of these things. The interesting part is the process that happens around it.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, that seeing how this happens is much more helpful, much more significant than getting past it so that you can talk about something.
Right.
Yeah, because
it's not just in this area. I do it all over the place.
Yeah, but even if it were just in this area, it is still the most interesting piece of it to me, because it's the process rather than the content. So every time I get behind the wheel of a car, I get a speeding ticket. Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, how do I manage that? You know, and if it's not just a speeding ticket, every time I get behind the wheel of a car, I get some kind of ticket. Okay, now you can imagine the story that I could get into about that.
How
expensive it is, and how they're going to take my license away, and then what's going to happen to my livelihood, and if I can't go to work, then I'm not going to be able to. But what's really interesting is, how do you manage to get a ticket every time you drive? That's not random.
That's not random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a specific process, a specific unconscious process.
Which kind of, I saw the rabbit hole, What the Bleep Do We Know came out with a second chapter.
I heard that. I haven't seen it, but I heard that, yeah.
Amazing. It's really amazing. It gives the secrets of enlightenment. And the one thing the guy says is that your best hope is to live outside of your personality.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of what, you know, the practice of doing like the monk training and so forth does. Because it gives you the opportunity to drop your personality.
Yes. It gives you a perspective. The difficulty with that is that as long as there is someone who is having that perspective, nothing has changed.
Ah, just the content.
Yeah, so if I'm going to be somebody who's living outside my personality, then my personality is going to consist of being the person who's living outside my personality. Mm-hmm. So it looks like I've made a big departure, but I actually haven't gone very far. For me, a much more helpful thing is forgetting about it, enlightenment, and just accepting the personality.
Ha. Okay. Warts and all.
Warts and all. Who sees it as warts? That's the difficulty. Okay?
Yep.
All right, good. I'll talk to you soon then.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We have a couple more callers still.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Bobby from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Bobby.
Yes, hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I have been working a little bit with awareness.
Uh-huh.
The awareness of the awareness and kind of how that falls back into it can become a thing that isn't awareness. Does that make sense?
A thing that isn't awareness?
Right. I mean, so let me see if I can explain this, which will probably be difficult. Awareness.
Bobby, if you could talk really directly into the phone, it'd help me out.
Okay. Awareness is experiencing me. What I mean that is the awareness is the cosmic consciousness experiencing this thing we call ourselves or whatever.
Yes, that can be the case.
In spite of what we may put on that for instance, with the there's nothing wrong with you, then of course there would be nothing wrong with you coming from that presence.
Bobby, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, let me trade something here. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. The thing that I was trying to to say was, like, if, you know, there's a point that I'm going, is this awareness part of my ego that I've, I have become the one and all identified with this thing that produces Bobby, or is this experience Bobby being aware of it?
Yes, so that's a parallel to what we were just talking about with Beth, right? Mm-hmm. There is living outside the personality. Now that's an interesting notion. Mm-hmm. Until you realize that you are someone who is living outside the personality,
right.
And poof, you're back in the personality.
Exactly. That's the
so there's awareness being aware of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the personality being aware of awareness, aware of the personality. And it's very, very slippery.
Right. And I find it kind of like, you hit it right on the head. My wife, last night, she said, well, she felt depression bubble up. And I said, I've had that before, too. You know, it just kind of bubbles up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for it.
That's
or
right.
Whatever. It just bubbles up, and you're sad. And with my experience of that, it's okay to just be sad and let that be.
Yes.
Just, okay.
It's let it be, and that's usually the way to let it go. You're not trying to let it go, but letting it be results in it going.
Right.
Yeah, not wanting to feel it, resisting it, is the thing that holds it in place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though when that occurs, that maybe I am supposed to feel sad, and maybe I don't need to know the reason why, other than just be sad and let that happen.
Yeah.
Almost,
excuse me.
Well, not welcome it, but almost accept it and just almost love it. Say, okay, thank you.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that when we look at this through the lens of liking and disliking, through the lens of duality, you know, when something good happens, you're just walking along and all of a sudden you feel good. You just feel happy. And there's no reason for it, but you just feel happy and you feel kind of motivated to, you know, say a little thank you to life, and, you know, you're filled with gratitude and all this. And we think that that seems normal and kind of a good thing. But if we're on the other end of the continuum and there's a sad feeling there or an angry feeling or an upset feeling, and there's the same welcoming, embracing response to it, that's seen as a little shaky. You know, you really, in our conditioned reality, we're really not supposed to be enthusiastic about what are thought of as negative emotions or negative reactions, because what we're supposed to be doing is resisting those in order to get rid of them.
Mm.
But you're right. It's all the same thing. It's just a continuum. This side of the continuum I like, that side of the continuum I don't like, and so I'm trying to stay on the side I like and trying to resist what I don't like, and it's far easier just to realize that that's all simply the human experience, and we can enjoy and appreciate all of it without taking it personally, without getting caught up in it, without thinking it means anything. It's just like the weather, you know? It just is what it is. We're there. We experience it. That's it.
It is. That's. I mean, it is. Verb. It is. This
yeah,
is.
It just it, is. And it doesn't. It's not even necessary for me to have an opinion about it. I do, of course, because I have an opinion about everything. But it's not a requirement.
Right.
Yeah. It
right.
just makes the personality feel more real to react to everything.
Right. There was a time one time, and I know you know these points that we have some kind of peak experiences, and this peak experience lasts for a long time.
Bobby, I'm having a hard time hearing you again.
This peak, you know, when we have a peak experience, or this peak experience lasted for a long time, And it lasted for so long, I didn't want it.
Uh-huh.
See, because I wanted to come back to, and what and how I would describe that was maybe like hitting a baseball, not thinking about anything but being as you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, just being.
Yes.
And no thought about what's going on, but just enjoying being and things happening in that state of being that was, and everything was fine as it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I almost say, well, I can't describe this, but when you see that, you will know what it is, that love is, or how that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way, sometimes they say it's like hitting a baseball. I don't know why you can hit a baseball. The ball comes, you swing the bat, and you hit it. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, probability, but I think there's something in your heart that makes that happen that isn't about thought or anything else.
Uh-huh.
It's this thing that occurs. You've probably hit a softball or a ball before. Do you really think about that, or is it just something that occurs as kind of being one with the whole thing, the ball and the bat?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I happen to be an excellent batter, so I do happen to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
So I know you do, because, you know, Sherry, you have taught so many people love and compassion and everything, and I'm not saying that to stroke me. I'm saying that because that's who you are, and that's a verb. That's your being. And
we must never lose sight of projection.
Got it. I got what you did. I got it.
Very good.
Now, I'm going to get out of the way so the other callers that are waiting can talk to you and enjoy listening to them.
All right. Thanks for calling, Bobby.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for joining us, Bobby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air in our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, there are a lot of things on the calendar page on the new Living Compassion website.
Isn't it beautiful?
The website is beautiful. It's got these little tabs. It's easy to navigate.
Even I can get around. I think I mentioned that. Even I can find things on that website. Yeah.
Yeah, you click on a tab and it changes color so you know what tab you're on. The little picture at the top changes? Something sophisticated going on here.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I know they've done a heck of a job.
Somebody did something and
yes.
Beamed the electrons around the world. And
and
the calendar page goes on and on and on. You can scroll for days.
Yeah, we are busy people.
And way down in May 20th to June 18th, is a meditation hall building retreat at the monastery.
Yes, and it's looking like we're living in one of our standard miracles.
Oh.
For a while there, we thought, ooh, I don't think it's going to happen, because everybody was saying, oh, well, this is going to take 6 weeks, and this will take a couple of months, and this will take, you know. And all of a sudden, things have started to come together. This fellow who's going to draw the plans, he was 2 months out, and then his big project fell through, and so I think he's drawing them today, and then, you know,
wow.
Like this, and somebody else said, oh, yes, you can do a foundation like that. So we're very excited. We think we're actually going to be building the building during the building retreat, which is, you know, for a while we thought, well, we'll think of something to do.
We'll plan the building.
But I think it's actually going to happen, so we're excited.
That's great. And that's nearly a month long.
It's a month long. It's exactly a month long. People can come for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the whole thing.
Yeah.
If they want to learn to build, you know, they can do that. If they have lots of skills, they're welcome. If they want to come and just cook for everybody who's going to be pounding nails, they can do that. There's something for everybody.
Wow. May 20th to June 18th?
Yeah.
I'm imagining you've ordered picture-perfect sunshine and
well, I don't
skies.
Know. You know what our weather has been like. And it was funny. Dave, who's one of the monks, said the other day, here, you know, we had this whole thing planned out that we were going to do, and then we had a huge snowstorm, which never happens. It snowed like four times at the monastery this year.
Wow.
You know, it snows maybe a sprinkling every 4 years, and we've had huge snows and trees falling down everywhere, limbs of trees, and narrowly missing buildings. One hermitage was knocked off of its foundation, and, you know, this sort of thing. So, you know, instead of what we think is going to be happening, we're spending a lot of time cutting up trees and clearing roads. So we're not making any guarantees about the weather this year. Most years we could say middle of May, middle of June, it's going to be perfect. Who knows? We could have a hurricane. We could have a tornado. We could it could snow. We're going to have a good time regardless.
Yes. Are you suggesting that living in the moment can be really helpful?
Yes. Yes, we have discovered that. Yeah.
Through paying attention.
That's right. Drop those expectations.
Yes.
Just figure what you can expect is anything.
Oh,
if you're expecting
that's good.
Anything, then your expectations will usually be met.
If you want what you get, then you always get what you want.
Yes.
To paraphrase.
That's very zen, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Should we go back to the show? Invite the rest of the family into the conversation.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome Valerie from Fargo. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Valerie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
It was kind of a trick question, wasn't it? let me try that again, okay? What's going on?
I was calling because a couple of shows ago you were talking about how you're interested in setting up things where you call an individual and you do reflective listening.
Yes.
I was hoping that was kind of underway, maybe, because I've been, I got the unconditional self-acceptance CDs and been focusing on writing down what's going on in my head, and then disidentifying with it by crossing out the eyes.
Yes.
So it's been really helpful, and just as long as I can get in the moment enough to remember to do it.
That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because everything in our conditioned reality conspires to keep us out of the moment and in that conditioned reality. So just simply remembering to come back to the breath can be the most challenging thing that goes on all day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was also another caller who talked about setting his watch to go off every 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So you don't have to come back to the breath.
Yes.
And one day I just kind of got interested in that idea, and I was looking around the internet for different alarm watches, and they've got this this watch that's for remembering to take your pills. Like, they've got this watch also for people with ADHD for just all kinds of different alarms and buttons going off.
Reminding you of all sorts of things. Yeah.
It's like, maybe I should get that watch and program my day on it and be like all the wonderful reminders that probably the monastery provides with regulated time, because I know that's something that that I struggle. I found that causes a lot of suffering in my life. As I look at my day, it's just not regulated. It's just do whatever, whenever, and that's something that's easy to do. It seems like in college, it seems like there's chaos because you have so much freedom, kind of. I don't know.
And unstructured is not helpful, is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of suffering. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I'm convinced that that's the reason that kind of life is so idealized in our culture. You know, people want to retire. They want to get enough money so that they don't have to go to work. They want to, you know, they idealize periods of time when they don't have to be anywhere at a particular time or do anything in particular. And in my experience, it is a quick trip to intense suffering. And that having a schedule really supports us in coming back to ourselves and living in the present and living the kind of life that we actually want. Because otherwise, you know, people will come to the monastery and they'll say, you know, that retreat was the best vacation I've ever been on. There are no decisions to make. You know, the bell rings and you wake up, and then you go meditate. You don't have to go through this, well, should I meditate? I don't really feel like meditating. Well, I don't know. I guess I, you know, all day long we can spend in that kind of back and forth with conditioned mind. But if we're following a schedule, then at this time I eat breakfast, and at that time I wash the dishes, and then I go do the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and it frees me from being in that extremely tedious and suffering-causing conversation with egocentric karmic conditioning.
I'm ready to get that watch.
Yeah. And, you know, we all have attention deficit disorder in this country. It is a national epidemic. So I think that's a great watch. When you get it, you know, give us a report.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, how many different tones can you set it for, and how often can it go off, and like that? I think we could all benefit.
I'm a freshman year. Everything was very regulated, and there was assignments, and there was timetables, and it was wonderful because I got all my work done. But I'm coming into these last years where it's total freedom.
Yeah.
And
freedom.
I'm
that has to be in quotes, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's unregulated. It's
unstructured.
Unstructuring yourself, and there's been so much that's come up. Mm-hmm. There's been so much that's come up, and just figuring out ways to get through this last year, supporting myself with structuring myself.
Yeah. So well, you start out asking about that reflective listening buddy system, and you know, if you want to email the monastery and ask about it, that will light a fire under me, because the gal who actually came up with this is ready to coordinate it, and I've actually been gone for several days, and that's at the top of my list to get with her, and we'll get all of the guidelines written up so that people can go on the web and read about how to do it, and then contact us, and we'll set you up with somebody, and she's agreed to kind of orchestrate the whole program for us. And I think it's going to be a tremendous gift to an awful lot of people, like yourself, in places like Fargo, where, you know, you probably don't have a lot of folks that you can sit around and do reflective listening with. Maybe when you get really good at it, you know, you'll say, well, we need a whole group of students here who just reflect one another as a way of gaining support. But right now, you can probably feel a little isolated there. And so email us and remind me to hop on it, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And give us a watch report.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I have an email question here. Hi, Sherry and Michael. I hope this email finds you well. I had my first best year yet check-in with my partner. In the process of giving her my update about how I've been doing in the past few weeks, I seem to realize that there are so many layers of storytelling that goes on in my head. Some of them I am aware of at times, and others I'm more often not aware. For instance, on a day-to-day basis, I seem to be able to be aware of how certain emotions and feelings arise for me, and I simply watch those feelings but don't react to them. However, when it comes to writing my dissertation, the layers of storytelling that go on are so incredibly deep that very often I don't hear them and, in fact, live them. Mm. Those voices manifest in procrastination and fear. As I continue to practice awareness, both in meditation and in the rest of my daily life, I do see how I've had more times of awareness than not. But how do I start noticing those voices that put me off writing my dissertation? I think I notice some of them after the fact, way after the fact, but not right at the moment, at least not often. Gasho from a listener.
Mm. Well, that's a tricky one, isn't it? That's what we were just talking about. How do you remember to remember to wake up? It's the most challenging part.
Yeah.
And especially that's so well put. That conditioning that is so deep that I don't see it, I don't hear it, I don't feel it, I am it.
Yeah.
And as you know, we often talk about that sort of thing as skin.
Yeah.
Because it's just so close, it's almost impossible for us to catch on. And yet, as the writer's pointing out, a process like Best Year Yet reflective listening, being in conversation with someone like this, gives us that opportunity to step back and see what we haven't been able to see when we're walking around on our own. When I said to Valerie, you know, to maybe once she gets really good at this reflective listening stuff, she'll want to get her cohorts to do it.
Yeah.
Because the more people we have around us, the more opportunity we have to hear ourselves say what's going on inside of us and have that reflected back to us, the better our chances are of getting through those layers of conditioning. They're not really deep. They're not really hidden. It's just that we don't pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
We're conditioned not to pay attention to them unless we're required.
Yeah.
And almost everything in society is set up to avoid that requirement.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Avoiding that requirement of having to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's all set up to go to sleep, go unconscious, get lost in whatever it is, be in the conversation of what I need to do and what is so and who I am and what's going on. The world is very, very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go, and it we lose sight of the fact that there's something larger. Then I'm in a conversation with somebody else, and suddenly there's a greater awareness. I mean, I have to leave that internal world in order to engage with somebody else.
Yeah.
Then if I'm asked what's going on with me, now I've automatically disidentified. I now have to step outside to some degree in order to look at myself to see what's going on.
Yes.
And the more we do that, the more comfortable we are in that disidentified position.
Yes.
And the greater our chances are of minimizing that time spent in that little, tiny, closed-off, unconscious, egocentric world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we can step back, we can see that that's just a story.
Yeah.
That's not our whole life.
Yeah.
It's just something we've been taught to believe.
Yeah.
Conditioned to believe, and to be unconscious when we're in that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm left to myself, there's nothing calling me out of that tight little unconscious egocentric place. That's the world that I live in. And nothing, it's amazing that we can go around in the world in that little tiny world.
Yeah.
And it's always a shock when something kind of startles us out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we're startled out of it, or when we're brought out of it, or we agree to come out of it, then we get that perspective that says, whoa, that was a little tiny egocentric world that I was going around in. There's a larger reality that I can participate in.
Yes, yes, yes. That sense of participation. And as you were talking about earlier, having a schedule, having commitments in our lives that call us to a bigger
mm-hmm.
perspective,
mm-hmm.
that call us to show up.
Yes, that's so well put. That's what my whole passion for Living Compassion is.
Yes.
If Jenny Ditzler, best year yet,
yes.
you know, if we don't have something larger to serve, we will self-serve.
Yes.
And the ego is just so consuming. In every way, it wants to consume us. It wants to consume everything.
Yeah.
And so if we don't have something we care about, something that we care about enough to take us outside our own ego,
yeah.
then there we are. We're going to live in service to ego as it attempts to consume us and everything else that it can get its little claws into.
Yeah.
So it's really important. You know, egocentric karmic conditioning is not actually powerful. In fact, it has no power at all.
Yeah.
It's that we don't, we're conditioned not to recognize it, not to confront it, not to go beyond it.
Yeah.
And as soon as we recognize it for what it is and decide we don't want that to rule our lives, and that's not
yeah.
what we want to give our lives to, then actually moving away from it is not that hard.
Yeah.
When Valerie was talking about getting the Unconditional Self-Acceptance CD set and just going through the exercises,
yeah.
there, that's it.
Yeah.
That's really what's required, is to do that thing that's going to take us out of the world of ego and move us into that larger perspective. So, you know, we find people to meditate with. We talk on the radio show. We read a book and we do the exercises. We listen to CDs and we do the exercises. And all of those things are calling us to wake up,
yeah.
get outside that world of ego, and see how large life actually can be.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
I always get wound up at the end of the radio show. I end the show and it's like ready to bounce off the walls.
And fortunately for us, we are blessed people. We get to go to meditation and group discussion tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would wish that for everybody. And for everybody who doesn't have that, then certainly at least a buddy that they can be
yeah.
on the phone with and have this kind of conversation that helps the person remember who they truly are.
Yeah. Wow. What a great way to end the show.
Have we reached that time?
We have reached that time.
Okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next week.
Okay, see you
okay,
next
bye.
Week. Okay, bye.
Bye.